The Group 1 all-age stakes at Randwick yesterday concluded what has been a historic and very memorable 6 weeks of racing carnival in Sydney for the autumn. And joining us on the program this morning is James Ross from their racing team. James, you must be celebrating what's been a hugely successful carnival, of course highlighted by the obvious in the champion mare Winx and her winning finale last Saturday.
Good morning, Joe. Yes, look, absolutely. It's been a bumper carnival for Sydney Racing and the ATC and Racing New South Wales and all involved. We've had a number of highlights, obviously, as you spoke to with Winx. That was great to see her go out in style and to see, you know, almost 43,000 fans here at Randwick really gave the feeling that's not so often felt in racecourses now. You know, a capacity crowd and really an atmosphere that had to be seen to be believed. So certainly it's been a really successful carnival, and that certainly has capped things off for us.
James, you've worked all over the world with the Hong Kong Jockey Club. You also had some time working with the VRC in Melbourne and Melbourne Cup Week in particular. How does last Saturday's experience from your perspective stack up against some of the other moments you've enjoyed in your career?
Yeah, look, Joe, I'd say it was right up there. We've been able to elevate Sydney Racing over the last 2 to 3 years, up there with some of the major international meetings. And you know, we've attracted a number of international horses. We've worked really hard with our partners to continue to bring you know, Sydney Racing to life. And we're seeing a huge number of local and international fans really get around that. So. To see, you know, to see race courses at capacity, to see a broad spectrum of young people enjoying the racing, but people who've, you know, historically hadn't been to Randwick for many years, they're on the weekend, you know, it really sort of spoke volumes to how successful that strategy's been. And I think it certainly stands, you know, Racing New South Wales and the Australian Turf Club in really good stead for the future when we're rolling out events like this, such as the Everest, hitting that 40,000 mark last spring, and now the championships. So we really do have a lot of momentum.
You certainly do. And James, of course, in the Queen Elizabeth Kluger, the Japanese horse really challenged Winx, and that was a horse you were responsible for luring to our shores to compete over the carnival.
Yes, look, it was. It's always hard to find international competitors to run against Winx. Many people throughout the world are watching her wins and obviously observing her ratings. So it was very satisfying to get both His Eminence, trained by Sir Mark Todd, but also Kluger, representing Carrot Farm and trainer Tomo Takano to compete. Their initial target was the Doncaster. He ran really creditably, ran fourth there, came through the run so well, and with a slightly reduced field in numbers in opposition, certainly better in quality, they decided to take on Winx, and they were richly rewarded. You know, 750,000 for second is a great result for them. Kluger had always been a horse that they struggled to get right, and he'd had a couple of breaks in his career. I watched him run in the Mile Championship, a Group 1 race in Kyoto, about 18 months ago, and he was probably 3 lengths off the top milers in Japan at that point, with not the best run. So I certainly think he had a peak performance in him. It was just a matter of getting the right conditions. He was obviously a horse that relished slightly easier going than he would find in Japan. And Tommy Berry was fantastic aboard him on both weeks. Really gave him a positive ride and a great result. But you know, his trainer, Mr. Takano, had trained a Japan Cup winner in 2015, so he's very experienced and highly qualified, and I think the way him and his team were able to prepare Kluger really is a big tick for Japanese trainers travelling horses and the bloodstock there. I think it's given Japanese bloodstock a great kick along. And it's certainly given that industry over there a lot of confidence to travel horses to Australia. So I'm hoping this sort of sets the platform for a really productive next couple of years in attracting Japanese competition.
There's no doubt it will, especially given light of the fact that the horse has performed so admirably in such a high-profile race against arguably the most high-profile racehorse in the world. It's really switched the international and Japanese spotlight on the Sydney Racing Carnival. So really, from your perspective, James, you couldn't have asked for a better outcome.
No, look, absolutely. It was the first time that the JRA were able to bet on a Sydney race with the Doncaster the week before. So we got great profile in Japanese racing fans and the industry watching our racing. The Sydney Carnival's broadcast into around 15 different countries. We had Hong Kong betting on day two, betting really good numbers. So it was particularly pleasing to encourage a horse, which it's always one of your biggest challenges, is encouraging horses which haven't won Group 1 races in their own countries to travel, and for people to understand how competitive they're going to be. But to get sort of a piece of confidence that we can take into market as we approach trainers and owners in Japan throughout the next year for races like the Golden Eagle, the Everest and the Sydney Carnival next year, it's immensely pleasing.
There were many other highlights across the Autumn Carnival in Sydney, James. Too many to probably mention in this particular interview, but to some of them. And firstly, Godolphin and their dominance of the major races has been quite extraordinary this season.
Look, it has. James Cummings, the entire team at Godolphin, they've formed a really well-rounded team. They've been great supporters of two-year-old racing and racing in general, In Sydney for many years. They always run usually the highest number of horses entered for a slipper, and they were dominant throughout. They produced fit, well programmed, well positioned 2 year olds throughout the year, and they've received those results week in, week out. Following on from the Golden Slipper, then you would have seen Microphone the week before. So Kiyomichi's been an excellent performer for them. So it's full credit to that entire outfit, and they're not only doing it with the younger horses, but they've had old stages favourites like Hartnell, running third in the Queen Elizabeth. So full credit to them, and we do thank them for their support domestically, and also to have Charlie Appleby and Godolphin here internationally with Sydney Cup runners, with a runner in the All Aged in Dubai. Also has further strengthened our carnival. So we can't thank them enough for their support.
And champion trainer Chris Waller last Saturday, reaching the 100 career Group 1 wins with Winx in the Queen Elizabeth. There couldn't have been a more fitting race for him to have done that in.
No, that's right. Chris always produces a number of Group 1 contenders across the carnival. He was able to win the Swept Sydney Cup for a large syndicate in Australian Bloodstock. Very popular win with Very Elegant as well in taking out the Oaks. So it was a fantastic afternoon for Chris. He's got a large team that, they always have multiple runners in Group 1 races and do an enormous job. So I think that was, the real icing on the cake for Chris to cross that milestone in that style. And I'm sure he's a pretty relieved and more relaxed man this week. So he'll only continue to rocket towards another milestone.
So onwards with planning now and getting organised for the spring carnival in Sydney. You'll barely get time to catch your breath from autumn before it's into the spring time and getting your head around that. Obviously, a successful autumn helps set the tone for later in the year in Sydney. From an international perspective, James, so what sort of horses could we potentially expect to see come out here for that end of the year?
Yeah, look, Joe, we probably start to set off on our international program over the next month. We look closely at Ascot. Our expressions of interest process for the Everest starts on the 1st of May. In the last couple of years, the Australian Turf Club's sort of taken plenty of time to evaluate all international and local form for that. We've made our decision towards September, once we've taken into account the key racing carnivals across Ascot, Newmarket, often Goodwood, and even York throughout the UK, and then at the Curragh in the lead into their feature meetings. So So look, we'll be doing that again. We're receiving pleasing interest already in the Golden Eagle, which is on the first Saturday in November. So I think that'll be a very interesting conversations around that from a Japanese perspective, and it'll be very interesting to see some good local horses stick around for that. You know, horses like Classic Legend were really exciting on the weekend, and that horse obviously has an international feel as well, being Hong Kong owned and trained by Les Bridge in Sydney. So we're on in earnest for Everest. But I think the entire spring carnival will continue to elevate. We've got new million-dollar races there in the Bondi Stakes for three-year-olds, the Golden Gift for two-year-olds, which I think is really going to change the pathway for two-year-old racing in qualifying horses for the Golden Slipper. So each year our spring, you know, continues to go to a new level. And whilst we often talk international, I think, you know, we include New Zealand in that. In that mix, we probably had around 30 or 33 horses from New Zealand participate across the autumn. So we'll target New Zealand heavily for some spring participation in races like the Flight Stakes for the fillies, the Spring Champion Stakes, where we've seen, you know, Murray Baker be so successful in the past. So yes, we don't get too much downtime, Joe. We move straight into it.
Yeah, you certainly do. And the void that Winx leaves is huge. Life goes on, of course, and there will be some other great horses come along maybe before too long. We all thought after Black Caviar, what do we do now? And along came Winx. You just never know what can happen in this great game of racing. But as far as capitalising on the impact that she's had, James, on the popularity of racing, particularly in Sydney, what's the thinking of you and the team at the ATC in terms of what can be done longer term to take full advantage of the huge impact she's had on the sport's profile?
Yeah, look, I think she's had a great impact, particularly getting mainstream Australia and in particularly in Sydney focused on racing. So I think the ATC's got a couple of key strategies, certainly around its facilities. We've got some key plans coming up as we roll out meetings with more than 40,000 people regularly. I think there's a key plan to continue to improve our facilities, our customer experience. We've already had a stronger focus on. We've got, you know, larger improved members areas, which are you know, receiving really good patronage, and particularly our public spaces. We rolled out the Tab Bet Barn this year across the carnival. That was very well received. You know, being able to maximise the wagering opportunities, we were able to encourage further wagering across the course, which is not always an easy thing to achieve with a bigger shift to digital in the current environment. So I think certainly improving that customer experience. It's always difficult, as you say, to replace a horse like Winx, but I'm particularly pleased in our core product at the moment. We're receiving good fields, you know, high quality participation, good diversity of participation from Sydney and Melbourne particularly. It was great to see, you know, Kieran Maher and David Eustace winning in Group 1 on the weekend. David Hayes is supporting Sydney Racing very heavily now. So you know, we've got that good diversity in the core product, so we know that we can, you know, continue to maintain that. But I think it's an exciting time for Sydney Racing because we've built a solid foundation around our product, and now it's you know, continuing to elevate it with strong customer experience and facilities. So yeah, I think we're set for quite an exciting time over the next 12 months.
Absolutely. James, thanks for joining us on the program. Great to have a chat with you. Congratulations to you and the team at the ATC for delivering a wonderful carnival, highlighted, of course, by Winx. It couldn't have gone to script any better than it did last Saturday. And we'll look forward to catching up with you in the lead up to the spring carnival there, which will come around before we know it.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
That's James Ross from the Australian Turf Club with his review of all things racing over the autumn carnival. There have been many highlights, and it's had a huge impact on the popularity of racing in Sydney, not just now, but for the longer term.